friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A. This is Marty coming to you live from Adelaide, and I'm joined in the studio by Pastor Gary. Today, we are looking at a highly debated and contentious issue. We're looking at the church and creation in a post-biblical era. Well, since Darwin's book, The Origin of Species, was published in 1859, the theory of evolution itself has evolved and become a very dominant worldview for explaining the various life forms on Earth. Pastor Gary, how significant do you feel is the influence of Darwinian evolution in shaping the world as we see it today?
Yeah, Marty, firstly, it's great to be able to come and join with you again. I love being able to sit down, particularly on this side of the desk, to be able to share what the Word of God is actually saying. But, you know, to me, the thing that I'm so conscious of is that within the Word of God, there are some things which I would call foundational principles. There are some foundations that if you move away from them, what actually happens is everything else actually starts to implode. And significantly, this is probably one of, I would say, six or seven, because I believe that within the Word of God, there's probably six or seven really key, fundamental, foundational beliefs that if you move away from those foundations, what actually happens is the whole structure actually collapses. And I believe that this is actually one of those six or seven key foundational issues that we do find in the Word of God.
You know, the world is so, you know, this idea of evolution is taught in virtually every school, in virtually every university, in pretty much, you know, you go almost worldwide. And so, you know, what an incredible influence Darwinian evolution has had on the way that people view how life actually began. You know, I was looking at an article today from Ken Ham, and he's a world leader in defending the biblical worldview of creation. And I just want to come to the article. It's actually called The Evolution Connection, and just read a couple of key points that he makes in this article. He begins by saying, "When I was teaching in the public schools in Australia, I certainly made no secret about the fact that I was a born-again Christian. What I noticed, though, was that some students would scoff at me for believing in the Bible because the teaching of evolution had convinced them that the Bible wasn't true. During my years as a teacher," he continues, "and many times since then, I've spoken around the world. I've had people use evolution as their excuse as to why the Bible couldn't be trusted. In fact, I found that evolution is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, stumbling block to people being receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ." He then says, "I have many letters of testimony on file from people who admit that it was after they were shown that evolution was not scientifically fact that the Lord opened their heart to the truth of His Word." You know, this is fascinating, Pastor Gary. You know, Dr. Ham here is really highlighting the fact that, you know, this issue of evolution is actually a stumbling block for people to coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And he even says that many individuals, once they realized that evolution was not actually scientific, that they became Christians. So what do you think? Do you think the issue of evolution is in fact a huge barrier to people becoming followers of Jesus Christ?
Oh, yeah. Look, Marty, this is one of the things that the research shows it repetitiously. There are some what we would certainly call belief blockers. There are certain issues within the Christian world where if people haven't had a reasonable answer provided to them, they tend to not be able to move on past that particular point. And this I believe this whole subject of evolution is in fact, well, it has actually been shown from research that this is one of the four or five significant belief blockers. It's often framed as the relationship between science and religion. How should we actually deal with that? And certainly, young people, they go to university, and certainly this is one of the foundational tenets that's presented at every university in the country. Certainly by the time they come out, I would suggest that a process of indoctrination has actually occurred, because, it's only when you actually look at the evidence from the different worldview that you start to see something. I mean, I really appreciate the Creation Ministries people. I have to admit it.
For sure.
I mean, the Creation Ministries are not part of my particular denomination, but I've certainly had them come and speak in my church on numerous occasions. And the thing that really impresses me is the scientific credibility of PhD scholars who are prepared to say this is a better way of interpreting the available evidence. The evidence does point to a creator, and this is why. I certainly well recall going along to their conference on the Gold Coast, and certainly sat up there for about 5 or 6 days, and really appreciated everything that was actually being revealed.
And obviously this is great, because ministries like Creation Ministries International and Answers in Genesis have really made this their focus, where want to show that the evidence actually harmonizes with the biblical story.
Yeah.
You know, Ken Ham, he makes a very, very profound contrast in the Darwinian evolution worldview and the biblical creation worldview. And he says it all comes back to where do you start, your starting point. And he contrasts it by saying, well, essentially, the biblical worldview is based on the Bible, God's truth.
Yeah.
Whereas the Darwinian evolution worldview is really based on man's idea of truth. Now, Pastor Gary, I think, this is very interesting. He makes the point that, none of us were alive back then when it took place. Mm-hmm. We're looking at how do we interpret history based off fossil evidence, based off a variety of other, evidences that are available to us. How do we interpret the evidence? And he makes the point that essentially, I'm going to summarize it like this, that in order to be sure about anything, you would have to know everything. That's the kind of point that he seems to make. To be sure about anything, you would have to know everything.
And he makes a very valid point there, but can I just share something that really helped me out a great deal? And that was, I like many people, have had to go and do my research, do my homework, really study into this particular subject. I've been asked to present a number of times on this particular issue, which means you've got to go and do your homework. You just simply can't go in half prepared. I will recall I was going up, you were pastoring a church up at Stirling here in the Adelaide Hills. There's a really beautiful bookshop up there that I love. It's an independent bookshop. It's not one of the chains, and it's got fantastic books in there. I went there some time ago. I do drop in probably every 6 months, 12 months or so, and I picked up a book entitled The Paradox of Evolution. Now, this to me was something that became probably the most revealing book that I have ever read. This book is actually written by Stephen Rothman. He's a PhD. He's Professor Emeritus in Physiology, Cell and Tissue Biology at the University of California in San Francisco. He's a committed evolutionist. But what he does in the book is he goes through and he says, the problem is that we are glossing over some issues that we need to have addressed. And he tries to actually dig into this issue. Now, this book hasn't been given much publicity, and I certainly well understand why, but just listen to some of the things that he does actually say. The idea that science is a purely rational enterprise, a pursuit skeptical of its own ideas and evidence, is merely what science should be. As practiced, scientific belief is neither simply nor directly the product of reason, or the objective evaluation of evidence, no matter how popular is that belief. The great observer of science, Thomas Kuhn, impressed on us that which should be obvious. Like all human activities, science is unavoidably a reflection of our fallen nature. We practice science as we live life with all our flaws, even when considering scientific ideas. Do you know, when I read that, I actually sat down and read his book, because what he actually digs into is what he calls one of the major unresolved issues in the whole area of evolution. And he actually talks about the development of human sexuality. And I'm talking here male and femaleness. And he starts to ask some questions. He says, how could this form of reproduction actually have evolved? He asks questions like, how did the male and female reproductive systems actually evolve? Now, these are two separate individuals. They've evolved, apparently, separately. By what evolutionary mechanism did male and female reproductive cell actually come about? How did they come to divide in such a way that when egg and sperm come together, there's an absolutely perfect blending? And how do you do it without a designer? He said this is the unresolved issue, particularly within his field. He says he can't get his head around it. He just simply, it's too big for him. How do you answer? He spends an entire book trying to answer that particular question. And I actually read the book trying to get his answer, because I wanted to get the answer to that question. But do you know, the book hasn't been publicized. It hasn't been, there's not too many people who are even aware that it exists. It's actually called The Paradox of Evolution, The Strange Relationship Between Natural Selection and Reproduction. You can actually get it, I believe, still online. But you know, when I have a person who has got strong scientific qualifications, who puts up in their hand and says, hey, I'm actually an evolutionary biologist, I believe in this, I trust this theory, I want, but I am really struggling to understand how this could actually have taken place. How do you actually, without a designer, get two cells to totally blend in order to create a new individual? And, you know, I really appreciated his book. He actually said so much that to me, simply said to me, this, for all that you might hear out there, is not settled science.
Yeah, and this is what I've heard as well, Pastor Gary, that even many evolutionists are raising these issues because they're discovering so many things that just do not fit within the typical Darwinian evolutionary worldview.
Yeah.
And, you know, the idea was as time goes on, as we get more information, this will become clearer. But in fact, the opposite is taking place. As we discover more of the complexity of the human body, more of the complexity of the world around us, we recognize that this complexity could not have come about by chance. That defies all logic.
Exactly.
So this is a really good point, you know, but one of the things that I think is interesting, and Ken Ham highlights this, and he says that he feels that most Christian churches are totally ill-equipped to actually answer the issues of evolution. And I wonder, why would that be? Why is it that many Christian churches are finding themselves, you know, that they can't actually give solid biblical answers to this issue of evolution? And I know for myself, as I've dug into it as well, that to me, it's actually very clear, and it's not complicated to show from evidence and from the Bible that that evolution doesn't have a leg to stand on. That's not a radically difficult, you know, you don't have to be sort of a rocket scientist to do that. Mm. But why is it that we are finding that many Christian churches are not really answering this question?
Yeah, look, that is such an important question, actually. We actually dug somewhat into this yesterday, and I'm aware that some of our listeners won't be on board yesterday. But yesterday, one of the things that certainly I did, because I shared yesterday, looked at what Christian churches actually believe. Now, traditionally, Christian churches have, traditionally, Christian churches took the perspective that God was the creator, but that's back in the 1800s. And you got the radicals, the evolutionists, and they believed that basically there was no God. You know, it's a very simplistic explanation. I'm aware of that. But you know, today, if you go through the literature, what you find, and the research, what you find is that churches almost across the board and almost without exception have taken a sort of halfway house. It's called theistic evolution. Now, that actually means that a God started the process of evolution, perhaps way back at the Big Bang, and then following God starting the process, then evolution took over, and over millions and millions of years created. We have the Earth and what's on it being created. But what you've actually got today is most religion has actually taken this, has adopted and accepted what I would call this halfway house. Now, we're going to dig into this,
I think this
both
is,
today
yeah.
and tomorrow.
And I think that this is really where Ken Ham is getting back to the fact that there's really only two foundational pillars for how we interpret, you know, what we see, you know, the evidence that we see. There is man's truth and there is God's truth.
And this is the point that actually significantly that Richard Dawkins makes, because I've got a very interesting interview that with Richard Dawkins, and of course he's a biological evolutionist, and he makes a very profound point, and probably the only point that I actually agree with Richard Dawkins on, and that is that you can be an evolutionary a believer in the Bible. Or you can be a believer in atheistic evolution. He actually suggests that this concept of theistic evolution is in fact a contradiction in terms. And he actually makes the profound and the important point that you cannot be a biblical believer and simultaneously believe in evolutionary design.
And that's fascinating, because it's coming from someone who himself is one of the one of the most well-known atheists in the world. Pastor Gary, I'm enjoying this conversation, and I sense that this is such a big issue that we're facing today, and I'm really looking forward to digging in a little bit more as we look at this question of creation. And so let's come to some music, and then we're going to come back. Please don't go away.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my of right. is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. I will not be afraid, I will not be afraid. This is my Father's world. I will not be afraid, I will not be afraid. This is my Father's world. I will not be afraid. No, I will not be afraid. This is my Father's world. I will not be afraid. No, I will not be afraid. This is my Father's world. My Father's world.
I love that song. This is my Father's world. It's a beautiful hymn. And welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time with Marty and Pastor Gary today. We're talking about creation. Why does it matter? What is our worldview? Why is it so important? Today we do have a free giveaway, friends. The book that we're giving away is called Creation and Evolution, a thoughtful look at the evidence that a master designer created our planet, by the well-known speaker and international evangelist Dwight K. Nelson. Now, this is a brilliant little book that really gets to the point very quickly and will help you to unravel the mystery of this issue. Sometimes I think, you know, we can be intimidated as Christians by this issue of evolution. I remember as a young person thinking, if I look into this too much, maybe I'll find out that evolution is true. But the exact opposite has actually been my experience. The more we look at the science, the more we look at the evidence, it points to the fact that there was a great designer. If you want to get your free copy of this book, Creation and Evolution by Dwight Nelson, all you've got to do is send us the code SA408. So the code is SA for South Australia, just 5 digits, no spaces in between, SA408. And text us that code to our drive time number, which is 0488880811. That number once again is 0488880811. Don't hesitate to text us and claim your free offer of this book. We'd love to get it to you in the fastest way possible. When you text us, this will come through to our Faith FM robot and we will get you the book as quickly as we can. You know, this is just such a good book, Pastor Gary, because I love the fact that there is simple books on this issue. There are big books that go into, you know, a lot of detail, etc. But this one really just gets right to the heart and gives you what you need to know to answer this question and to strengthen your faith.
Can I just say on this one, Marty, this is a book that I would grab, particularly if you happen to have maybe high school age young people. Because this is not a long book. It's not a complex book. It's a book that is written for the lay person. It's only got about 100 pages in it, and they're small pages at that. And it just takes a bird's eye view at this entire entire issue. But what it does do is it raises some questions that I believe are well worth actually talking about, and significantly aren't always spoken about within this particular debate. So I would really recommend this book to individuals. What's that number again?
The number is 0488 808 11, and send us the code SA408. I think it's a great point, Pastor Gary, that, you know, if you've got teenagers at home, or if you work, or if you're at university, if you've got friends who are asking you questions about evolution and how can you believe in a God when evolution, perhaps you're asking those questions yourself. Grab this free offer. It's such a good little book. Mm. Once again, send us the code SA408, and our drive time number is 0488 808 11. It's great to see requests coming through. Look, there is one more thing I want to promote, and that is that we have right here in the city of Adelaide plant-based cooking classes coming up this Wednesday night, tomorrow night, in fact, the 18th of March. It starts at 6:15 p.m. at the Adelaide City Seventh-day Adventist Church, located at 82 Angus Street, Adelaide. If you want to learn how to eat healthy and simply through a health talk and plant-based cooking demonstration, and you want to have dinner as well, there's going to be dinner as well provided at this event. This is just so good. 6:15 p.m. this Wednesday, tomorrow, in fact, at the Adelaide City Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's only $15 for adults, $10 concession, or $5 for children aged 5 to 12, and children under 5 eat free. So, friends, this is just a great opportunity. If you're interested in learning how to cook vegetarian meals, plant-based cooking meals, then you don't want to miss this. 6:15 p.m. tomorrow at the Adelaide City Seventh-day Adventist Church.
And that is good food.
Oh, yeah. This is great food. Yeah, I can testify to that as well. Friends, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A. And this is Marty, and my co-host today is actually Pastor Gary. Pastor Gary, we're asking this question, creation. Why is our worldview so important?
Yeah, look, this is probably an issue that many people actually haven't thought through to a great extent. I remember a number of years ago, actually, I attended a conference. It was run by one of the mainline churches in our country. Now, one of the things that I really appreciate doing is being able to go to conferences that are led by people and individuals that are a little bit outside of my conventional bubble. You know, I find that it's important to be challenged every now and then look at what individuals are actually teaching, preaching, and believing. I went to this conference. It was actually an apologetics conference. I had really been appreciating what was being shared. Now, apologetics, of course, is a theological term. It doesn't mean I'm apologizing. What it means is this is the defense of the Christian faith. That's apologetics. And it's an area of theology that's actually not spoken about much today. And significantly, many preachers don't actually preach much about it today, about apologetic type subjects either. Now, the professor who was presenting, he was the head of a major theological school. And I have to admit, in his initial presentation, I was so impressed with what he presented, because he was certainly presenting a biblical worldview. He had expressed a belief in, for example, the virgin birth. Now, not everybody does. Not everybody in every church actually holds that anymore. He certainly defended the virgin birth. And then there was the resurrection of Christ. He certainly defended the issue of the resurrection of Christ. But then the next presentation was on this issue of creation. Now, I was really looking forward to his presentation. I thought, hey, you know, I so much enjoyed what he'd said already that I'm really looking forward to seeing how he actually deals with this subject. Anyway, the second presentation, the second plenary, came along, and he started to share on the church and creation and evolution in the post-biblical, post-modern world. And frankly, I have to admit, I became very disillusioned very, very quickly. He actually adopted a position that was what we call, what we talked about before, theistic evolution. And basically, he felt that that somewhere way off in the distant past, billions of years ago, we actually find God started the process of evolution. And then over eons of time, evolution took over, and then until we get exactly what we've got today. So in other words, this is a sort of halfway house. It's, you know, you're not a true evolutionist because you don't deny the existence of God, but you're not a true creationist either. It's a bit of a halfway place.
You know, it's almost like, you know, if you've got two canoes and you're paddling down the river and you've got a foot in both canoes, actually, as you do that, if you've got a foot in two canoes, those two canoes actually will slowly start to drift apart. And there comes a point where you have to pick one or the other, or you're going to fall in the water.
Exactly.
You know, why is it that theistic evolution, this idea that, you know, why is, or let me ask it this way, why is evolution, Darwinian evolution, incompatible with the Bible? And why is it dangerous to try and blend those two ideas together?
Now, we are actually going to come to that. In fact, we're going to come to that one more tomorrow than today, because there are actually seven or eight vital reasons, because I'm going to suggest tomorrow, because I'm going to be presenting with my good friend Pastor David Butcher tomorrow, I'm going to be presenting that if you adopt a theistic evolutionary position or an atheistic evolutionary position, you cannot hold a biblical position on creation. You are no longer a biblical Christian. It's as simple as that. And, you know, this has taken me, the amount of study that I've actually dealt, you know, had to move into on this particular subject, and the number of people that I've spoken to on this issue, just simply says to me, I've had to come to this conclusion that, you know, you can really have one or the other, but you can't have both. There is no halfway house. Now, significantly, let me illustrate this. Significantly, that lecturer that I was telling you about, over the drinks break, I thought, well, will I do this or not, you know? And I'm one of those people who actually sometimes ask more questions than probably is for my own good. But over the drinks break, I approached our lecturer and I sought some sort of clarity from him. And we had a great discussion. I really appreciated his feedback. You know, he confirmed that he believed in the virgin birth. He believed in miracles. He believed in the resurrection, but not the biblical creation story. Now, I actually suggested to him at that time, I said, look, don't you feel that you're being rather inconsistent at that point? I said to him, I said, look, is it reasonable to teach belief in a virgin birth, miracles, the resurrection, predictive prophecy, and yet deny biblical creation? You know, I said to him, I said, look, this virgin birth story is a remarkable story. All Christianity believes the virgin birth. This is a story of Mary who becomes pregnant, but no man is involved. That's what the virgin birth actually teaches. And Christian churches across the board adopt and accept that particular belief. My question to him is it reasonable to say that a virgin birth occurred, or that dead men do actually come back to life again, or that miracles can occur, that Christ can actually speak and say to a blind man, be able to see, and he's able to see, and yet at the same time say, well, you know, we don't serve a God that is able to create? Because each of those events, to me, sounds like a creative event.
Yeah, and I can see what you're... This is a great question. How is it consistent to essentially what you're essentially saying is, how is it consistent to accept part of the Bible but not the other part of the Bible? How can I trust that what the book of Matthew says is true if I can't trust that what the book of Genesis is true? because the Bible is something that is, it's something, the Bible claims that it is the Word of God. More than 3,000 times, the Bible claims to be the Word of God, and the Bible says that it is inspired by God. All Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we, it's not really up to, I think this is where, when we start to mix in man's ideas and try and blend them with God, with what God has revealed, I sort of feel like that's mixing truth and error. And I think that that's quite dangerous.
I think you're 100%
correct. And confusing. Very confusing, because the moment we start to say, okay, well, no, we don't really accept what the book of Genesis actually says, and we believe that over a period of millions of years and the death of millions and billions of animals, eventually life evolved. I mean, that is just so, that doesn't just deny the book of Genesis, that actually denies the entire story of Scripture, because this then teaches that death was not a result of man's sin, but rather that death was actually part of the design that God himself created. And that is just such a warped picture of God.
And that's one of the really big issues. There's about six of those issues, and we're actually going to dig into those tomorrow. I'd encourage our listeners to please come and join us tomorrow, because I'm going to suggest tomorrow there are about six or eight of these issues that are just so key, because if in fact you undermine Christian theology by simply any form of evolutionary belief, you've actually underscored, you've undermined some fundamentals. You know, years ago, there used to be a thing called, what Christian church believed in, an omnipotent God. Now, that's a big fancy theological term. But Marty,
All-powerful God.
That's an all-powerful God. Now, tell me something. Do we still believe in an omnipotent God or not?
I do. Absolutely. God is all-powerful. There is nothing that God cannot do that is consistent with his character.
Is it therefore, should an all-powerful God therefore be able to create? What I'm suggesting to you here is that one of the vital issues today is that we be consistent in our worldview. If in fact we are actually going to believe that, for example, that a virgin birth occurred, if we're going to believe in predictive prophecy, if we're going to believe in a resurrection, if we're going to believe in miracles, then what is the problem with actually believing in a creator God?
And I think the foundation to all of this, Pastor Gary, is do we accept the Bible as the Word of God? Once we come to that conclusion, it solves a million problems. You know, I've just got my Bible open here, Pastor Gary, to Psalm 33. It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth.
Yeah.
And then it says, for he spoke, verse 9, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And this is really echoing the creation account where it says, then God said, let there be light.
Exactly.
You know, and there was light. So God spoke, and the word of God has creative power to bring life and, you know, to bring matter into existence, essentially.
And this was the thing that we actually pointed out yesterday, because yesterday I actually went through some Pew research that spoke about the results of research that's been done into what the various churches right across the spectrum do actually believe on this subject in their official documentation. I went through yesterday and I actually read quite a bit of that official documentation, and I'd encourage people to listen to yesterday's program. And certainly if you go to the Catholic and Anglican, Hindu, Buddhist, Methodist, Congregational, Unitarian, Jewish, all the websites, they are largely, almost without exception, theistic evolution, holding a theistic evolutionary belief that God started the process of evolution all these eons ago, but that today After that time, God created through the process of evolution. You know, Marty, the thing that this is actually doing is bringing huge confusion to those who are coming to Christ. Because do we serve an all-powerful God or not? Do we serve a God who can, who I can pray to, and who will respond?
I absolutely agree, Pastor Gary. This is bringing huge confusion when we sort of say, on the one hand, yes, we believe in God, but on the other hand, we sort of deny the story of creation as recorded in the Word of God. Now, one of the things I think that is confusing and tripping up a number of Christians, in fact, I was just asked this question just the other day. They said, you know, aren't the days in the story of creation, don't they represent sort of eons of time, perhaps thousands or perhaps even millions of years? And the answer to that is quite simple. And, you know, if you look at the Hebrew word for day, it is the word yom. Mm. And the word yom throughout the entire Old Testament, if you see the word yom connected to an adjective, for example, in creation, in Genesis 1, it says first day, second day. So that when, as soon as the word yom or day is connected to a descriptive word, like first day, second day, third day, whenever it's connected to a number, it always without fail is a 24-hour period of time in entire Hebrew scriptures. And so people, you know, this idea that the days represent thousands of years is again, That doesn't actually harmonize with what the author of the book of Genesis was trying to communicate.
Mm.
Not only that, but by the time you come to the book of Exodus, in the very Ten Commandments, which God himself wrote, I mean, this is amazing to me. You know, God entrusted the writing of the Bible to the prophets and, you know, he inspired them. But there was one part that he said, no, I'm going to write this part. And that was the Ten Commandments, his law. And it is fascinating, Pastor Gary, as a side comment, that the one part that God wrote is probably the part that many, even Christians today, want to change.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the Ten Commandments written by the finger of God, it actually says in the fourth commandment that for in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and the rest on the seventh day.
Yeah.
In other words, the Ten Commandments, God himself says, no, I created in 6 literal days. It didn't take eons of time.
Yeah.
And so if we're consistent once again with what the Bible teaches, we're not going to read Genesis 1 and think, oh, these days are symbolic of thousands of years. No, that's not what the text is saying.
Mm.
Good hermeneutics or good principles of interpretation, look at the actual word, look at how it's used elsewhere in scripture, and come to the conclusion that the author of the book of Genesis wanted us to understand that God created this world in 6 literal days and he rested on the seventh.
And that's the beautiful thing about the book of Genesis. You know, I love that that particular story, and I was actually going to include that particular illustration because I think it's really important, because I also have had numerous people talk to me and ask me that exact same question, because of course that is one of the derivatives of the theistic evolutionary worldview. You know, there are a number of different varieties of that particular view, but that is certainly one of them. And that, to me, if you come to the Word of God, to me it is so important that we take the Word of God as it reads, allow it to interpret itself. I have got no authority to go and reinterpret what the Word of God is actually saying. In fact, if you go to the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation actually turns around and says that if, in fact, you change any of the words in this book, then the Lord will change or add any of the words in this book. What the Lord is going to do is to add your part in the final lake of fire or when he comes again.
It's a very, very sober warning, you know, and God's word is his word, and we ought to, yeah, have a humble and teachable spirit. Pastor Gary, this is a great conversation that we're having. We're going to come to some music. We're going to come to this beautiful song by Keith and Kristen Getty, Across the Lands. We'll be back in just a moment.
Every star and every planet has
The lands. Welcome back. You're listening to Drive Time Big Q&A. This is Faith FM. This is Marty coming to you live from Adelaide, and my co-host today is Pastor Gary. Before we dive back into our program today about creation, does it matter what you believe in terms of creation? We do have a free giveaway today. It's the book called Creation and Evolution by Dwight Nelson. This is a brilliant little book. If you've got questions about creation evolution, maybe you're wrestling with it. Does science contradict the Bible? Or in fact, does it actually harmonize with the Word of God? This little book will answer these questions and give you the answer to what does the Bible really teach about creation? And how can we answer some of the issues that are brought up today about evolution? If you want to get a free copy of this book, all you've got to do is text our studio number. And our studio number is 0488 808 11. That number again, if you want to get it in your phone, get ready to text us the code to get this free giveaway. And the number is 0488 888-808-811. We give so many free giveaways here at Faith FM because our aim is to teach the Word of God. We want people to know the truth of God's Word. All you've got to do to get this free book by Dwight Nelson, Creation and Evolution, is send us the code SA408. Five digits, no gap in between. SA408. Send that code to 0488-808-11 and we will get you this book in the fastest way possible. It's been great to see people from all over the country, in fact, from Victoria, from Queensland, from Tassie, texting in to get this free offer. It's just such a thrill. And friends, if you know someone who's asking these questions, if you've got young people in your home who are asking these questions and you want to be able to give them an informed answer about creation and evolution, then take us up on this free offer. Send us the code SA408 to 0488-808-11. There's one more thing I want to promote, and that is that we have plant-based cooking classes coming up. It starts tomorrow night at 6:15 at the Adelaide City Seventh-day Adventist Church, located on 82 Angus Street, Adelaide. You'll learn how to eat healthy and simply, and you'll have a delicious plant-based dinner included as well. So, to book in, you can book in by contacting, Naomi or Emily. But even if you haven't booked in, I want to encourage you just to show up. And, because I know that it's starting tomorrow. So please just, feel free to show up tomorrow at the Adelaide City Church at 6:15 PM for plant-based cooking classes. It's $15 for an adult or $10 concession, $5 for children between the ages of 5 and 12 years of age. Pastor Gary, we're having a great discussion. What else do you want to share with us as we sort of wrap up for this afternoon? Yeah.
Look, Marty, if I can just go back to this whole issue of worldview, there are many, many people who don't actually realize the significance of worldview. Look, I will recall a story some time ago where a person from a third world country was actually on their first visit. They had been taken on an expedition to New York City, and they went home to their country, and the people, the village he grew up in had no concept of multi-story buildings. So what does he actually describe to them? Well, he actually describes a multi-story building, but it's, these are huts built on top of huts. And in the center of the huts, there's another hut that goes up and down to get you to the topmost hut. Now, most of us might smile, might laugh, might think that, hey, that's a little bit out there. But apparently it is actually a true story. Those people thought that this guy had actually become a little bit possessed during his trip overseas, and they encouraged him to not go back overseas again because this was really influencing his world in a way that they had no concept of what it was he was trying to describe. Now, you know, within the Bible, what we've actually got today is a largely secular worldview. The secular worldview is one that is naturalistic in its form. Now that means we just assume that everything happens in a natural manner, in a way where the supernatural simply doesn't impact society. But you know, if I go to the biblical worldview is totally different. It turns around and it talks about this thing, as we mentioned before, supernatural miracles. The blind receive their sight. The weather is supernaturally stilled. And you know, I've actually seen that happen in my own ministry. I've seen an occasion where that actually took place. It talks about a virgin birth. It talks about a resurrection. It talks about predictive prophecy. It talks about a prayer answering God. It talks about an omnipotent and all-powerful sin-forgiving God. And then it talks about a supernatural creation. Now, you know, to me, as I look at all of this, I turn around and I say, hey, look, you know, what must I do with the Word of God if I can say my omnipotent, all-powerful God can't create? Then is it reasonable for me to hold on to those other beliefs? To me, the moment I turn around and say that, well, I believe in a miracle working God. I believe that we can, that a woman actually had a baby formed in her without the influence of any human male. You know, predictive prophecy. I believe in predictive prophecy. And you know, the beautiful thing about predictive prophecy is that it's evidence based. I can check that and say, look, is there evidence to say that the predictive prophecy did actually take place? And you know, that to me builds my confidence like nothing else does. You know, I love the resurrection as well, because the moment you turn around and you look for the evidence for the resurrection, all I can turn around and just simply say is, hey, thank you, Lord, for providing so much abundant evidence. Because when you dig into the evidence, you know, I think of the book The Case for Christ, you know, a powerful, powerful book where this evidence is looked at and considered. I love the fact that we serve a prayer answering God. Do you know, ask multitudes of Christians, has the Lord God, has the God of heaven answered prayer? And repetitiously you get the answer coming back, yes, 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 yes. You know, to me, the evidence for these other supernatural elements of Scripture is just so strong that for me to deny creation would require me to deny the Creator. I don't believe I can do that.
You know, Pastor Gary, I love the fact that you are connecting this very important point that we have to be consistent. We can't sort of just say, yes, I believe in Jesus and the resurrection, but then turn around and say, I deny in the creation account of the book of Genesis. Yes, we need to be consistent Christians if we're actually going to be solid in the Word of God. You know, it is such a miracle, isn't it, life? And I just want to sort of, as we wrap up for today, I just want to share a text of Scripture, and it's in Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, and when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. You know, the God of the Bible is a God who loves us with an everlasting love. We are not an accident. We're being created by a God who loves us with an everlasting love. I want to thank everyone for joining us today on Drive Time. And tomorrow, Pastor Gary and Pastor David Butcher are going to dig in deeper into this subject and start to answer some of these big questions about why it is so really incompatible to try and merge evolution and creation together. I want to thank you so much for joining us, and I'm sure tomorrow's program is going to be something special. But until then, I want you to remember these words of Jesus. Jesus said, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace the world gives, so don't be troubled or afraid. May God richly and abundantly bless you.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.